stand in the house this morning. We want to raise a hallelujah to the Lord. Amen. Yes. Come to sing to the King, amen. He is worthy. He is reigning, amen. Yes, come on.
We sing to the King who He is coming to reign. And glory to Jesus, the Lamb that was slain. And life and salvation His name shall bring. And joy to
done. Thank you, Jesus. You met me at my lowest moment, and you saw me at my very worst. When I expected disappointment, love was all I heard. Cause my sin was deep, your grace was deeper, and my shame was wide, your arms are wide.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your amazing grace demonstrated to us through Jesus Christ, your Son, at the cross of Calvary. Thank you for loving us, O Lord, and drawing us to yourself, for bringing us by your amazing grace into your family today, for changing our lives and transforming us, O Lord, more and more into the likeness of Jesus, your Son. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to worship together with our brothers and sisters in Christ this morning. We pray, O Father, that you would touch us and bless us and strengthen us, renew us once again today, Lord, as we trust in you. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We're going to invite those who are serving communion to come and join us, please, this morning, as we prepare our hearts this morning. Be seated this morning as you receive the elements of communion. We'll stand again in just a few moments today. Amazing grace. Can we sing it together? How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Thank you. also I deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me. Let us pray together. Heidi, let me take your microphone there, please. Thank you, Lord. Brother Philip Page, would you lead us in prayer for our communion time together, please?
Our Heavenly Father, we're so grateful as we remember this time of celebration.
Yes.
With a somber spirit, we humbly put ourselves at your cross, Lord, and we remind ourselves of the sacrifice
Thank you, Lord. You
gave. The stripes you bore on your back, the blood that you shed for the remission of our sins. And Lord, we rejoice that we are saved by your blood.
Yes, Lord.
Redeemed from the law of sin and death.
Thank you, Jesus.
Set free and made whole.
Yes.
In you, Jesus. Thank you for this act that you did for us. Thank you for this sacrifice. And we bless it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
Amen. Let's eat the bread together, please. Same way also after supper, Jesus took the cup and said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Drink this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's drink together, please. Thank you, Lord. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Can we lift up another praise, an offering of thanksgiving to the Lord this morning, please? We love you and we bless you and we praise you, Lord. We thank you for your amazing grace today, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Sing, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Praise God, 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 praise God. And everyone said amen. Amen and amen. Well, good morning, everyone. What a wonderful day it is to be in the house of the Lord today, worshiping together. And we're so glad that you're here today. Would you take a moment before you're seated to reach out and greet those around you in the name of the Lord, please? God bless you. To take a moment this morning to recognize and honor all of our veterans who are in the house today. Can we ask all of our veterans today to stand, please, where you are? Could you stand with us this morning? And let's express our appreciation to them this morning. Yes, yes. We want you to know how much we appreciate you and your service to our nation. And we are so grateful for the privilege of having veterans among us today. We are honored by your presence, and we thank God for you today. I want to say a special word about my brother at the back, Brother Carlos Valentin. Last week, attended the honor flight, and congratulations, Carlos. We love you. Perhaps many of you have gotten to know Carlos and his wife Erna. They come from Puerto Rico, during these last couple of hurricane seasons, they're glad to be in mid-Missouri. And we're glad to have them as well. And congratulations, Carlos, and to all of our veterans today. Pastor Bob, you come and give us the day's announcements, please. Thank you, Delaney. Are you clapping for me as I'm finishing, or Pastor Bob as he comes? All right, that's good.
All right, there I am. All right, God bless everyone this morning. It's great to see you. And as we do each week, we want to take a moment and send out a very special welcome to those that might be visiting for the first time. We want you to know that we want to get to know you and connect with you. So we want to ask you to take a moment and fill out the Connect card that's located on the back of the seat directly in front of you. And then if you would, just swing by our Welcome Center that's located in the lobby right after service. And you can hand that off. We have a nice gift that we want to give to you for being our special guest today. All right, there we go. And please swing by the Welcome Center right after service because we want to connect with you and get you back and become part of our church family. All right, one other word of announcement this morning. For all the 50-plussers in the house today, we want to remind you that this coming Thursday will be the 50-plus Thanksgiving dinner. That's going to take place next door in the church gym at 5:30. They will provide the chicken cordon bleu casserole. Hope I said that right. I was trying to say it fast, so you couldn't tell I didn't know what I was saying. I do know about this. They're also going to provide the cheddar mashed potatoes. Somebody say hallelujah. And broccoli medley casserole. And it says, please bring a side dish, a salad, or dessert to share. And we ask that if you would, please register either on Realm or by contacting Nancy. That will help us a lot. All right, that's it in the way of announcements. So if you would you stand with us once again as our worship team comes to lead us.
be seated, everyone. And what a day it is. Beautiful day outside. Don't you love this winter weather? Yes, it's a little too warm in the sanctuary right now, but we are enjoying the beginning of winter. And we know that many are perhaps out hunting for their winter's food today on this first Sunday of deer season. Is that right? Have any of you already gotten your deer? Anybody here already gotten a deer? Steve, I heard you missed a buck and got a doe. Is that right? No. And Steve Haslag, happy birthday today, my brother. We wish you a wonderful happy birthday. And I know Hudson got a deer. I saw a picture of it. Or was that Hannah that got that deer? No. Oh, no. She got the shark back then. That's right. That's right. That's right. Oh, Steve got a buck last night. Steve has gotten three bucks this year already. No. I'm just kidding. We don't want to get any legal trouble here this morning or get anybody. Father, we pray a blessing over all of our hunters this week that you would protect them and keep them safe. In Jesus' name, amen. I almost got three deer on the way in this morning. And it was a very, very dangerous looking situation. Mama deer had crossed the road and baby deers were behind her, and I got in between them. And I how many of you know I slowed way down? I want you to know that I hit a deer one time years ago at 30 miles an hour. So you don't have to be going really fast, because sometimes they hit you. And boy, don't anybody go down to Herman this time of year. Let me tell you, that is the dangerous route. And so congratulations to all of those who are hunting. May the Lord protect you. And we're grateful for the Lord's supply in every way. Could you say amen? We're going to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 this morning as we look to the Word of God together. Our last few Sundays have been heavy-duty messages. Three Sundays ago, we preached about heaven with a long, long list of scriptures. Two Sunday mornings ago, we flipped it around and preached about hell. And some of you wish you hadn't been here that morning, but you were. Last Sunday morning, we preached about Christian citizenship and voting and abortion and all of those kinds of things. And we have been in the midst of a long sermon season, I have to admit to you. I told Heidi at the end of our last series, I said, Heidi, starting this Sunday, I'm planning to preach much briefer messages. And how many of you know my prophecy fell flat on its face? And for the last three Sundays since making that prophecy, the sermons have been longer than ever. And so today I have a brief word for you this morning from a brief but a powerful passage of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse number 1. One of my favorite passages in the New Testament, written by an unknown author. We do not know the author of Hebrews, but whoever that author was a powerful apostle who wrote powerfully in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he writes in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, these words. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Today, as we come to this powerful passage of Scripture, we come to the place here in the book of Hebrews where the writer has just cataloged a whole list of Old Testament heroes, ancient heroes from the past. In fact, the writer of Hebrews reaches all the way back to the very beginning and begins his list with a word about Adam and Eve's son, whose name was Abel. And from there, he tracks through the history of the heroes of the Old Testament, great men and women of God who accomplished God's purpose for their lives and for their generation. Now, I want to say to you this morning that we are not here by accident today. We're not living at this time and place by chance or by coincidence. God has designed our lives and God has placed us here for such a time as this. And God has written purpose over every one of our lives. I want you to know this morning that you are not insignificant. You are significant in the plan of God. Now, you may not be a Moses or a David or an Elijah, but you are who God has created you to be. And God has a divine purpose for your life. You are important to God. You are important to your surroundings. You are important to the people in your lives. You are important because God has designed you to live at such a time as this. Hebrews chapter 11 records the great accomplishments made by men and women of God in the past. But then the page turns in Hebrews chapter 12 and the attention turns from the past to the present. And the attention turns from the famous heroes of the past and turns directly toward you and me. And the scripture writer speaks out a word to us and says, it's time to run your race. Time to take your place in history. Time to live out God's destiny for you. Others have lived their lives and their lives are finished. We hear the Apostle Paul declare in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, I have fought the good fight, I have finished my race, and I have kept the faith. Paul at the end of his life declared, I did everything God called me to do. And now it is incumbent upon us who live today to run the race God has called us to run and to accomplish the mission God has given us to accomplish. You and I have purpose and spiritual destiny to lay hold of and a spiritual life to live out to its fullest capacity. We have a race to run. And here's the point in Hebrews chapter 12 this morning. It's time to live the best Christian life we can live. Could you say a better amen? It's time to take hold of every opportunity. It's time to throw aside everything that hinders. It's time to grab hold of Jesus and to run the best race we can run that God has assigned to us. So this morning, I want us to consider together five simple principles for running the very best race we can run as Christians. They're on the outline this morning, and they are before us today on the screens. Let's begin with this declaration. Number one, we must hear the testimony of those who have already finished well. How many of you know somebody who lived a strong, faithful Christian life and is now gone to heaven? I think we all know someone like that. We know others who fiddled around and sort of lived, and we don't know much about, you know, what they accomplished. But I think all of us here today know somebody who lived before us a strong, faithful, devoted Christian life, and that now they have finished their race and they have gone on to heaven. And we hear this important principle from the writer of Hebrews today. We must hear the testimony of those who have finished well. Hebrews chapter 12 begins with verse number 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. We talked a little bit about this verse a few Sundays ago when we thought about heaven and who's in heaven and what are people in heaven doing right now. And we made the statement that this verse that speaks about a great cloud of witnesses is not speaking about a cloud, a group of witnesses who are looking at something now, witnessing something now. We're talking about a group of witnesses who are standing on the witness stand in a courtroom, and they are giving testimony as witnesses to the faithfulness and the goodness and the grace of God. And the cloud of witnesses in Hebrews chapter 11 is shouting out to us and saying, God is faithful. We made it to the end of the race. We won the race, and so can you. That's the message. And the cloud of witnesses in Hebrews chapter 11 is a long list of Old Testament men and women of faith. People like Abel, who was killed by his brother Cain. Enoch, who lived and mysteriously, because he walked with God, God took him away. Noah, who built the ark. Abraham, the man of faith. Sarah, his wife, who laughed, but she did her, how many of you know she did her part as a 90-year-old mother? Everybody say Sarah did her part, okay? Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses, who led the people out of Egypt, and Joshua, who led the people across the Jordan River and into the Promised Land. We even hear about a prostitute woman named Rahab, who is listed as one of the heroes of faith. How many of you know it doesn't matter what kind of life you've lived in the past, you can begin again and do God's work for your life. And Rahab accomplished God's purpose for her life. We hear about Gideon and Samson and David and the prophets. And all of these are testifying to the power of faith and faithfulness. They are testifying to us and declaring, if you will believe God and act upon that, it will be powerful in your lives. God will be faithful as you are faithful to him. For us as New Testament people of faith, we add to the list of the cloud of witnesses. We think about Peter, who led the New Testament church with power on the day of Pentecost. We think about Paul, who turned the world upside down with the gospel. We think about John, who refused to stop preaching, was boiled in oil, but came out alive, was exiled to the island of Patmos, and wrote the book of Revelation despite it all. We think about Timothy, who overcame fear and timidity and even overcame stomach trouble to do the work of the Lord. Yeah. We think about Titus, who supervised the churches on the island of Crete, and Luke the doctor, who became the chief historian of the New Testament. And in that cloud of witnesses, we add our own personal heroes of the faith. For me, I add my twin brother Joel, who died not long ago, a couple of years ago, who was absolutely riddled with health problems, who had like 11 back surgeries and 322 other surgeries. And in the midst of it, led the church men's ministry moving team. And did everything he could do to serve Jesus and live. I think about my mom, who died last Christmas, who served the Lord, taught Sunday school for over 40 years, and remained so faithful to the Lord that even in her final days, she was reading her Bible and praying and was testifying to the love and the grace of Jesus. I think about my Grandma Perkins, my dad's mother, 4'9" and 500 pounds. Well, not really, no. She was kind of heavy, but she was a short little woman. But she was mighty in the Lord. And she was a Bible Baptist Christian who witnessed all over the area, averaged in her up into her 80s, she averaged winning one person to the Lord every week. As she went door to door on soul winning visitation twice a week, she went once a week with the adult group, and in her 80s, she went once a week on visitation with the youth group. And won many people to the Lord. I think about my Grandma Mac, who was a spirit-filled Christian who loved the Lord and served God. I think of my Uncle Reed and Aunt Marnie, who were pioneer Pentecostal preachers who brought our family into the Spirit-filled life and the Spirit-filled movement. And I think of so many whom we have known and loved in this very church family down through the years, who have lived strong, passionate, powerful Christian lives, who believed God in the face of great difficulties and served God in seasons of discouragement. I think of so many among us who have gone on to be with the Lord in heaven. I think we may have as many people who are part of the First Assembly family in heaven today as we do here on earth. But we thank God that heaven is ahead. Would you say amen? And we thank God for their faithful examples before us that demonstrated to us that we can continue to serve the Lord no matter what comes our way. These members of the great cloud of witnesses are like witnesses who are testifying and declaring the race is winnable and doable. Don't let the devil deceive you into thinking you can't live the Christian life and live in victory. Victory is within our reach because God is faithful. And they testify to us. Their message is this: you can make it. We fought the good fight. We finished our race. We kept the faith. And so can you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Could I have an amen? You can be more than a conqueror through him who loved you. You can get through the tough times. You can make it through the challenges of life. You can be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. If God is for you, who can be against you? And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God is real and God is powerful and God is for us. And those who have gone before us testify to the faithfulness of God and declare, you can make it. We make these notes about those who've gone before us in this Christian race. Number one, they ran in faith. Number two, they ran faithfully. And number three, they ran and finished. Many have begun the good race. Are you hearing me? But it's not how you start, it's how you finish. Are you hearing me? And they finished well. Hear the testimony of those who have finished well. Number two, the second principle for running a good race, run your own Christian race with passion and toughness. I don't care how sweet your dear grandmother was, she cannot live your life and she cannot drag you on her coattails into heaven. You have to run your own race. And the point of Hebrews chapter 12 is this: you have your own race to run, your own Christian life to live. You have your own calling to pursue, your own mission to accomplish, your own assignments from God. This is a race, the writer of Hebrews says. It's a race through this life and toward heaven. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3, God has called me heavenward, and I'm pressing toward that. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we've got to run this race to win. Not everybody wins, said Paul, but we're running this race to win. And here are the questions posed for us as we think about the message from Hebrews 12. Will we live the Christian life and finish strong? Will we live for God's priorities? Will we do what God has called us to do? Will we accomplish what God has given us to do? Will we keep going even when it's hard? Because after all, and we'll see it in just a little bit this morning, after all, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3 are written so that we will not grow weary and lose heart, as some do. Will we go all the way with the Lord? We hear the scripture today, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. That race marked out for us is the life that God wants us to give. He has called us to a life of purpose and meaning. He's called us to be lovers of God and worshipers of Jesus and workers in the kingdom and witnesses for Jesus. He's called us to be agents of his love in this world. He's called us to serve our families and our friends and the world around about us. He's called us to make an impact. God has not called us to sit like a lump on a log and make no difference in the world in which we live. God has called us to accomplish a great divine spiritual purpose that he has for our lives. We're not all going to be like the Bible characters, but I submit to you this morning that somewhere in the pages of history is some unknown person who did great and mighty things that we don't even know about. We know the names and the stories of those recorded. But how many of you understand there were 120 people in the upper room, and we only know the names of about 14 or 15? And yet God's people were filled with the Holy Spirit to do his work. God has a place and a purpose designed for us. And whatever we're doing, wherever he's assigned us, we're called to do it to the very best of our ability, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to live with passion, and to serve well, to serve with perseverance and toughness, to square our shoulders back and pull ourselves up by the bootstraps with the help of God and march through the tough times and do what God has called us to do. As we think about this race that we have to run, we recognize three truths. One, we have a spiritual race to run. This life, how many here in the room this morning, you are a born-again follower of Jesus Christ? Let me see your hand. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, the purpose of your life has changed. And your new purpose now is to live as a sold-out, devoted, dedicated servant and follower of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Your whole life has changed. Your purpose is now a spiritual purpose. You have a spiritual race to run. You have a specific and strategic race to run. For me, I've been called to serve as a pastor in the body of Christ. God has given me a specific calling upon my life, a specific directive. Sometimes that calling is a struggle to fulfill and difficult. Sometimes there are challenges along the way. I have to say, my life as a pastor over the last many years has not been overly difficult because God has blessed me abundantly. But how many of you know there are challenges for all of us? And struggles and seasons of discouragement. Every person under the sound of my voice, God has placed you in a particular place as well. You may not be the pastor of the church, but you may be the prayer force behind the pastor of the church. Are you here? You may have a particular ministry in the body of Christ, or a place in your family, or a place in your workplace where you are a beacon, a shining light for Jesus. God has placed you there, not by accident, but by divine planning and purpose. And you have a specific race to accomplish. Will you run it? You have a strenuous race to run as well sometimes. Challenges and potholes and pitfalls along the way. Hills to climb and hurdles to jump over. Rivers to cross. Mazes to maneuver through. Lots of difficulty in this world. Sometimes you feel like giving up or giving out, but that's not an acceptable alternative. Next time somebody tempts you, something tempts you to just give up on Jesus, why don't you say what I do when I hear that kind of thought? Why don't you just say, to whom else shall I go? That's what Peter said. When Jesus asked the disciples in John chapter 6, will you also go away? Peter piped up and said, to whom else shall we go? You're the one who has the words of eternal life. How many of you already know there's nothing better and nobody better than Jesus? Say amen. I want you, there's no life better than a life lived for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we've got to keep running even when it's tough. Got to use both hands and both feet sometimes. Got to use all our strength and all our wisdom. I'll tell you, to stay strong and faithful to the Lord, sometimes you got to use your heart and sometimes you got to use your head. And how many of you know usually it's best if you employ both of them together at the same time, heart and head working together. And hands working together. using all of the talents and abilities God has given us. We've got to employ our strength and our will and our determination and refuse to give in to discouragement. And run our own Christian race with passion and toughness. I hate to quote my favorite poem again for you this morning, as I have quoted for you many times down through the years, but it is still an applicable poem today. It goes like this: plod on, 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 plod on. And the second verse goes like this: plod on. How many of you get the point today? We got to keep running. Is there anybody in the house today? You at one time were a cross country runner. Anybody here? You ran cross country. Raise your hand if you were a cross. Come on, lift it up. Raise your hand if you were a cross country runner. I cannot imagine what possessed you to do such a thing. My least favorite activity in life, perhaps, is the activity of running. My favorite activity is eating. My next favorite activity, now these are non-spiritual activities. My favorite activity is eating. My second favorite activity is reclining. Huh? My third favorite activity is napping. My fourth favorite activity is sitting. I can't imagine running. Running is a difficult endeavor for some of us. Dr. Richard Presbury, you still running every day? 10 miles a day? You were not 10 miles a day anymore. How many miles are you? What are you doing now, Rich? 4 miles a day. 4 miles a day, 3 days a week. What a wimp, Dr. Presbury. Have you ever noticed that Dr. Presbury has never asked me to be his running partner? We got to keep on running even when the running is tough. Hear the testimony of those who finished well. Run your own Christian race with passion and toughness. Thirdly, in our scripture this morning, throw off everything that hinders you from running well. You say, there it is, Pastor, that's the donut you're talking about. Throw off everything that hinders you from running well. Hebrews 12 says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. We begin with the last one, throw off the sin that entangles. If you're going to serve God well, you're going to have to give up the entanglements of sin. And you're going to have to determine that you're going to live God and leave sinful activities and attitudes and lifestyles behind. So many Christians want to live on the fence, and they want to live their Christian race and their Christian lives on the fence. Their hearts are divided, their devotions are divided. Half of them want to live for God, and the other half are all bound up in sin, and they can't let go of this for that. They struggle back and forth. They are double-minded. They're trying to run while they're all tangled up. But listen, sin has the power to slow you down, and sin has the power to knock you out of the race altogether. And many who claim to be Christians and want to be Christians, and believe me, I have seen it. People who want to be Christians, and a big part of them, they want to serve the Lord. But the problem is they want this and they want that. And they are struggling constantly between two opinions. The prophet Elijah in the Old Testament said, how long are you going to waver between two opinions? If God is God, serve God. If the other thing is God, serve the other thing. But make up your mind. And Hebrews says if we're going to run for the Lord, we've got to throw off the sin that so easily entangles. Throw it off. So many Christians are slowed down by so many things. It's like, have you ever known somebody who's taking a trip to Kansas City and it takes them 6 hours? Because they stop at the gas station in Ashland. Well, not Ashland if they're going to Kansas City. They stop at the gas station in Kingdom City. And then they stop at the gas station in the next little town. And then they stop at the next gas station. And a 3-hour trip takes them 6 hours. Have you ever known somebody like that? Doesn't that just drive you insane? I believe this is my major principle for traveling. Only stop when you can't hold it anymore. When that's the case, you can take care of everything else you need to do on the trip, right? You say, why did he say that? I don't know why I said that. We've got to make up our minds if we're really going to live for God and run the race. We've got to throw off the things that slow us down. And first is throwing off the sin that so easily entangles. And we've got to throw off the shackles and the shenanigans that encumber. This is all the things that maybe we don't classify as sin, but they are misplaced priorities and worldly pursuits, failing to focus on the spiritual, worldly schedules, doubts and fears that weigh us down, insecurities and feelings of inadequacy, and all kinds of games and misplaced attention that just keep us from focusing on the race that God has put before us. And thirdly, we have to throw off the stinky stuff that embitters. Things like unforgiveness and bitterness and hurts and critical spirits. How many of you here, you want to live a strong, long life for Jesus? Say amen. You got to throw off that stuff. That stuff will hinder you in your work for the Lord. It'll hinder you in your witness. It'll hinder you in the victory that God wants you to have in your spirit. For a couple of years in high school, I worked. Sherry, are you here somewhere this morning? Sherry, I see you right there. For a couple of years in high school, I worked for my neighbor, Linda. Her daughter, Sherry, is here today. We've been friends since, well, probably junior high school or so. And Sherry and I, we worked together for her mother in the tractor trailer washing business. Doesn't that sound like a fun job for a high schooler? And it was the hardest work. It was the hardest work I ever did in my life. I had a pole. It wasn't mine. It was my assigned work instrument. I had a pole that was long enough probably to reach to the top of this ceiling, with which I scrubbed the sides of big trailers. Doesn't that sound awesome? But the most challenging part was those big rigs that had driven on the highway thousands of miles in a week. They had driven across the country, and then they come home to roost. And along those highway miles, those big rigs collected 42 million bugs. And getting the bugs off of those trucks, was a nightmare. Friends, as we travel in this Christian race, we sometimes collect a lot of bugs. Are you here? We collect a lot of things. We need to get to the truck wash. Sherry, help us. We need to get to a truck wash somewhere soon and get all the bugs scraped off. Yeah? Because they're slowing us down. Years ago, I welcomed a family to our church. They've many years ago moved on from us to another city. They came to our church, sweetest family you could ever imagine. But when they came to First Assembly, they had come from another city yet where they had really been wounded in a church. And when they came here, they declared to me, we don't want to get involved. We don't want to know people. We don't want to build any relationships. We want to just come to church and sit and rest and enjoy the services. The sad part of that was, they were precious people, relationship with them would have been beautiful and excellent, but they had been hurt and they became scarred by that, and they made the decision never again would they make themselves vulnerable enough to be hurt by a church body. How many of you have ever been hurt by somebody in church? Let me see your hand. Come on, come on. How many somewhere, someplace you've been hurt by somebody in the church? Gloria, you're lifting your hand, and it was your husband Steve, wasn't it? How many have ever been hurt by somebody in your own home? Don't raise your hand. Yeah, everybody's encountered difficulties. We got to let that stuff slide off of us like water off a duck's back. And if it sticks like a bug on a tractor trailer, we got to employ the scrubbing with the help and the grace of God to get that stuff off of us, because we've got to get rid of the things that hinder us from running a clean, strong race for Jesus, right? Hear the testimony of those who finished well. Run your own Christian race with passion and toughness. 3, throw off everything that hinders you from running well. And 4, fix your eyes on Jesus from start to finish. Listen to the verse 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher, perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him, Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinful men. The most important rule in the race is to keep your eyes on Jesus. Sadly, many people get their eyes everywhere else, on other people, on other problems and difficulties. But Jesus is the leader and the Lord. And Jesus is the one who demands and deserves our chief focus in life. Amen? What do we know about Jesus from Hebrews 12? We know he's the author of our faith. He started this whole thing out by his amazing grace. We know that he's the perfecter of our faith, the one who can get us all the way home and the one who's working in us even now. We know Jesus endured the cross for us, that he paid the price for our salvation. And we know that he faced opposition, but he kept going and he finished his race. Jesus at the first, Jesus at the finish, Jesus faithful through it all. And keeping our eyes on Jesus, and quite frankly, falling in love with Jesus, will make all the difference in our lives. Are you here? Years ago, we started talking, I believe, our youth pastor, Lisa, and our youth minister, they are excellent in laying out proper apologetics for our young people and teaching those good principles. But years ago, I learned and I have declared that we need a foundation, we need apologetics. What I believe people need more than anything else in life, if they're going to be victorious for Jesus, is that they need to fall in love with Jesus for themselves. Yeah. It's one thing to know about Jesus. It's another thing to know Jesus, right? And as believers, we've got to lock our look. Here they are. Let's move quickly. We've got to lock our look onto Jesus daily. Keep your eyes on him. We've got to learn to love Jesus deeply. We've got to latch on to Jesus desperately and say, I need thee every hour. And we've got to listen to Jesus dependently. We've got to wrap our lives all up in the Lord Jesus. Amen. When I was a teenager, the choir sang a song called Wrapped Up, Tied Up, Tangled All Up in Jesus. It was quite a crazy song, as the title suggests. They sang it so fast, we felt like our tongues were all wrapped up and tied up and tangled up. Wrapped up, tied up, tangled all up in Jesus. That's the principle. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Hear the testimony of those who finished well. Run your own Christian race with passion and toughness. Throw off everything that hinders you from running well. Fix your eyes on Jesus from start to finish. And 5, our final principle, don't run out of steam, but get refreshed regularly. Here it is, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside, throw off everything that hinders, and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. There is danger of growing weary and losing heart, becoming discouraged. Listen to what Moses said to the Israelites in Deuteronomy 25, an important lesson. Moses said to the Israelites, he said, remember what the Amalekites did to you along the way when you came out of Egypt. Listen to this. When you were weary and worn out, they met you on your journey and cut off all who were lagging behind. Get the picture of that. Here come the Israelites marching out of Egypt toward the promised land. The Amalekites came and seized upon their weariness, and came along and cut off all who were lagging behind. You know what that says to me? That says to me, I don't want to be lagging behind. I want to get up in the group that's running hard. Could you say amen? I don't want to be straggling behind where the enemy can take advantage of me. Don't grow weary and lose heart. Don't lag behind and get cut off. Stay strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Number one, linger in his presence and draw from him the strength that you need. And number two, live on his power and learn to live with a full tank in the Lord. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 4, we studied a few Wednesday nights ago, made this declaration, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Now listen to me, everybody. I believe that even when we are physically drained, that opens up an opportunity for the enemy to take advantage of us. Are you here? So, yet we want to be renewed spiritually, but we've got to be careful also that we take care of ourselves in such a way that we do not allow weariness in body, mind, soul, or spirit to make us vulnerable to the work of the devil. Right? We've got to be careful. Don't run out of steam, but get refreshed regularly. Renew yourself in the Lord and keep the tanks full. Stay in prayer and worship and the word. Surround yourself in the presence of God. Stay in church with the people of God. Encourage one another and lift one another up. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Be strong and keep running your race and run to win. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand together, please, everybody.